be than right here, right now.
Ah, it's Bill time.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
And of course, I'm at Phil Hochberg, and now...
Rob Spiewak!
Hold on, wait a minute. Give your big build-up. You know, all of these buttons are turned in the wrong position today.
That's John Pop, right there.
All right, let me try that again. Here he is...
Rob Spiewak!
And thank you, Jim Jingle Singers. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Give Me a Three Count and all the ships at sea. Hey, I don't know about you, but I loved you guys last night as Lennon and McCartney on VH1.
Thank you.
Here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Thank you.
Yeah, powerful. And hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide. Still via Best Bud Von Darling.
How many affiliates do we have?
Double Nickel.
Still 55.
Still 55. It's Wednesday. We still have 55 affiliate stations.
That's a good thing.
Don and Mike show coming to you via the auspices of the Westwood One Radio Network and through our flagship station, WJFK FM in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
We have 5 million Arbitron rated listeners. We very humbly thank you for your patronage. And, of course, a brief salute to management. That was me, Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, Donald Monkey Boy Ephraim. Here he is now suffering from a killer case of Dick Vermeil.
Yes.
There is old man Jack Kent Burbank.
Hello, Buzz.
I put some Nuveen on it. It'll be okay.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz. I got to tell Buzz, he gave you the signal that time.
Yeah. And I caught the signal.
That's how.
Caught the hands over the head signal, signifying that Buzz's microphone was not operating.
That's the system, best signal you've ever given.
The system worked.
Way to go. Hello, Buzz. And hello, everybody. Feb 2, year 2000, telephone number 1-877-365-3636. We will get to your calls in a second, and I'll tell you why we need people to call here in just a moment. Very specifically, we're going to take some calls on today's show right now from people who are planning on attending the first Las Vegas-style show of the new century.
Yeah, celebrate 2000 with us.
Tonight, we're going to be at Bohagers in Baltimore in the brand-new Bo-Dome.
The Bo-Dome!
I want to make sure that we mention this now, just in case another member of the Baltimore Ravens kills somebody,
yes,
and they decide that they have to preempt us in Baltimore for breaking coverage of an athlete gone bad, as they did last night.
Yeah, and when we've got an appearance up in Baltimore, and the affiliate that we have in Baltimore, the station we like to refer to as our sister station,
JFK Jr.,
you know, decides to hack this show, you know, at the end and chop us off, we just want to say thank you.
Right. I mean, the guy, the football player, allegedly killed somebody on Monday morning.
Yeah, and now they're saying he's got an alibi with that limo driver. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the fact is, it was in the news. It was reported.
4 a.m. Monday is when this alleged killing happened. Mm-hmm. Last night, about 7 o'clock, we got a button here where we can turn on our AM station in Baltimore, our sister station. Mm-hmm. And we realized that they have some yoko local with a real thick Baltimore accent trying his hardest to do some type of investigative reporting about this story.
I saw Denise Koch, and she was the one talking about this. It was a great report, and I'll tell you right now,
this is a black eye for the entire city of Baltimore. We stayed on the air last night until 2 o'clock in the morning.
You might remember that I told you that I was the first on this story. I'll tell you right
we
now.
We are on it.
I was over by the Bremez Seltzer Tower, and I was having a hot dog, and I said, this is an injustice for the city of Baltimore.
Cal's never killed anybody except a split-fingered fastball that he said over the left field wall into Boog's Barbecue.
No matter how you slice it, it's a black eye for a fledgling franchise.
So listen, make sure we get this on now before another Baltimore Raven kills somebody and they cut us off. Tonight's show is going to be in Baltimore at the brand new Bo Dome. We will hit the stage at 9 o'clock. Costs nothing to get in. Come on by. One of the things that we're going to try in the new retooled Las Vegas-style show 2000 is a live, on-stage, nude feud, or depending on what the local code is, the semi-nude feud.
A semi-nude feud.
Which could end up being total nude feud.
Could be total nude feud. Could be topless nude feud. Could be people in their underwear nude feud. So, it depends on the community we're visiting.
Right. What we need are teams. We need people who are planning on being at the show tonight so that when we hit the stage at 9 o'clock, we don't have to waste valuable time pulling people up from the crowd to play this game.
Right.
So if you would like to participate, and the cash prize will be $250.
That is serious money.
We're going to do it kind of like strip trivia,
right,
where we'll have two teams of people. And each time somebody gets a question wrong, they take off an article of their clothing.
Good.
The first team that gets naked, or as naked as the local authorities will allow, they're out. The other team wins the $250.
The feud!
Now, all that we ask is that there be at least one woman on each of these teams.
Absolutely. And how many members on each team? What?
At least three.
Three to five.
Okay, three to five.
Very good. So what would work ideally is if you're planning on coming to the show tonight with a group of people.
Right.
If you're coming down with a bunch of your girlfriends or conversely coming down with a bunch of guys from work, get yourself together right now, make the plans, make the commitment. Call us up at 1-877-365-3636. We'll give you the information to get you backstage before the show.
You'll be right up at the front of the show, right?
Yes, to make sure when we come out, we'll do our little stuff, we'll do our little monologue, and then, boom, you'll be brought right out, and we'll get right to the nude or semi-nude feud.
The nude feud!
Also tonight, new at the Las Vegas-style show, if we have time permitting, we'll be playing Whose Ass Is That?
Whose Ass Is That?
Also, we will still have the Homo Joe Challenge, Dennis Murphy Challenge, the Cheryl the Big Dyke Challenge, the Underwear Fashion Show.
All the stuff that you love.
So come on out tonight, Bo Hager's in Baltimore, but what we need right now are at least two teams of people, at least two guys and one girl on each team. We'll be playing for $250 tonight. Understand that as you get questions wrong, you will be required to take articles of your clothing off.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what you're down to will be depending on what, you know, we agree with the management about.
There's a lot of times we go to these places and they say you can have no genitalia. And you say, fine, well, how about boobs? And they say boobs are okay as long as, as soon as the girls take the tops off, they put their hands over their boobs. And,
absolutely.
And sometimes they say no nudity at all, which means just, you know, pasties and thongs and bikini strings and stuff.
But no matter what, we always manage to have a rather raucous, raunchy time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no matter what rules they tell us, we always manage to find a way around the rules.
Sure.
Because you'll find, by the time we've been at these clubs for two and a half, 3 hours, long as the show lasts, the rules end up getting thrown out the window.
And the people that invite us back, like the good people at Bo Hager's, the good, brilliant people at Bo Hager's,
they know what they're getting in.
They know exactly what's going on.
Okay, so, I see we may have a team already.
Excellent.
Let's go to Matt. Matt from Virginia. Matt, you're coming up to Baltimore tonight?
Matty? Hello?
Hello. You know this entire... Hold on, please, Matt.
I'll tell you right now. That's a blemish on the part of a fledgling franchise.
this entire board is effed today. My whole control board.
What did they do to it, too? Because I've never seen you have a worse time of it.
All the switches are in the wrong positions. Like, somebody came in and turned every switch from the on position to the off position.
You know, if your control board was... I'm gonna give an analogy here. I'll make it a kitchen.
Good.
All right? If your control board was like a range top, you know, it would be the equivalent of cooking over wood log.
Yeah.
It's in need of an update. Badly in need of modernizing.
Well, they have told us that the new studios are coming in March of this year.
And I certainly don't believe that.
Next month. All right, the telephones are activated. However, we have lost all the calls that we had standing by.
And you know, when they tell us we're going to have a new studio next March, all that tells me, the last time we were part of a renovation, we were in an older station, the other station, and we ended up being in a broom closet for a couple of months.
I think they're planning on doing the renovation while we are on vacation.
Oh, very good. Okay.
At least that was the plan that I had heard before the entire management team exited this radio station to go to the radio station up in New York.
Well, that's something maybe I'll mention to the new guy, because that would be wonderful.
There you go. You know what's killing me today? Oh, hold on a second. Before I tell you what's killing me, and I know Mike's got something killing him he wants to talk about.
Sure.
First, we may have a team here. Hello, Michael.
Yeah.
Michael from Virginia. Hello. Hi, Michael.
Sure.
Nice to see you, Michael.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Hi, he's loopy for the Vegas show.
Yeah, he's goofy for the nudity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm 21. It's my first time I can go.
Okay, beautiful. Now, you're planning on making the trip up to Baltimore tonight?
If I can. I don't see why I can't.
What do you mean, if you can?
If I make it.
What do you mean, if you make it?
I'll be there.
Not good enough.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry about
Come
that.
On.
No.
Sorry, Michael.
Oh, all right.
How reliable are you when you say, if I can, if I may? Are you being tentative because of you want to volunteer for the nude feud?
Sorry, Michael.
Nope, you know what?
No. I'm going to go to Matt, who's calling us from Baltimore.
Good.
Home of killer football players. Hello, Matt.
Yes.
Matt, you're on the air. You coming to the show tonight?
Yes, I am.
You got a team together, Matt?
Yes, two guys and two females.
Beautiful. Can you turn your radio down, please, Matt?
Okay, it's totally off.
Thank you, my friend. Who will you be playing the game with tonight?
My fiance and a buddy of mine and his girlfriend.
Fantastic.
Perfect. Beautiful. Now, the cash prize, $250 tonight for the winning team. And you guys realize that if you lose, you'll either be semi-nude or totally nude.
$250 is worth it.
I like that. That's the right attitude.
Yeah. Money works. Okay, Matt, hold on. We need to get information from you, buddy.
All righty. Thanks a lot.
Hold on a second, please. You know, we better get three, maybe four teams of people.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. Just in case something happens to one of these other teams.
Absolutely. I think it's a good idea.
All right, so keep calling.
What did you say that was bothering you?
Hold on. We have another team.
They're calling in droves.
We have another team. Scott.
Hey.
Hey, Scott from Bel Air, Maryland.
That's right, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Do you have a team?
Yeah, myself, my wife, my cousin, and his wife.
I love it. Now, if these two teams worked out, wouldn't that be perfect?
That'd be perfect. Yeah. Two guys and two girls would be best.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, ideally, with a four-on-four semi-nude feud.
It'd be fantastic.
Good. Who's on your team there, Scott?
My wife, Stacy, my cousin, Joe, and his wife, Rose.
I believe in this guy. There's something about his voice that just tells me he's going to do it.
Now, Scott, if you hold on a second, we'll get your information. And all of these people, incidentally, will be brought backstage before the show,
right?
So make sure that they're there. We'll get you hooked up with some free beverages and
absolutely
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that you're good and loopy before you get on stage with us.
You can hang out with all of us before the show.
Sounds great.
Or at least you can hang out with Homo Joe before the show.
Right.
Okay, hold on, Scott.
Okay.
Hold on just a moment. All right, that's two teams. If we could get at least a couple more.
You mean they won't be coming into the green room?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. But that's why we have Homo Joe.
Very good. That's right. He's our liaison.
Now listen, Rockhead, you big dummy. Don't forget to get these people's information.
Rockhead, this is one of the most important things you're going to do today. We really want to make sure this works okay.
Come on, you big dope. Get their phone numbers. Give them the backstage information.
Okay, here you go.
I know, as usual, the producer of this show, Charles Broyhill, is at lunch.
Yes, he's lunching.
That seems to be his new schedule. He decides to go to lunch during the first hour of the show every day.
Somewhere in the greater Washington, D.C. area, a chicken is losing its life right now.
Hold on, we got a guy. I love these calls.
I wonder if this is a goof.
The guy's tired of us making fun of Baltimore. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Now, come on. What is your problem?
Come on.
You seem to have difficulty with us making fun of Baltimore.
Well, especially considering the Redskins is the home of the first gay football player.
So, are you a tad homophobic?
No, I'm not.
That there's anything wrong with that.
What does the fact that a gay man played for the Redskins have anything to do with Baltimore?
Well, it doesn't, but Ray Lewis hasn't been proven guilty, but that Redskin has been proven gay.
Who are you talking about?
It was a tight end. I can't remember his name.
No, but are you, first of all...
Come on, he wrote a book about it. I can't remember his name. If you think that guy...
What was his name? No, it wasn't Matt Elliott.
Wasn't it Smith?
Yeah, Jerry Smith.
If you think that
Jerry Smith was the first homo to play in the NFL, you're totally wrong, man.
Openly.
I want to tell you something. You know your great Johnny Unitas?
Oh, yeah.
As gay as they come. Bubba Smith, big pole smoker. And Art Donovan loved pitching, not catching.
Well, they're from Pittsburgh. They're from Pennsylvania. What do you expect?
Oh, come on. See, I knew this guy. That's not a serious
come call. On.
I really am taking a little bit of offense to everybody's got this guy guilty.
Now, wait. Hold on a second. Wait, I want to stop you right there. Because if you were listening to the show, what I said, and I guess you didn't hear it, was the limo driver has come out and said that the guy, he's a witness and that the guy didn't do it, that's one of the things I said.
I did say that I want to get these calls on as soon as possible before another Baltimore Raven kills somebody and has us taken off the air so that we can have wall-to-wall coverage.
Right. Which I thought was pretty darn funny.
Well, I'll tell you what, buddy, don't we play you guys next year at the Forskin?
Okay, listen, buddy, I have news for you. Buddy, we don't play the games and you don't play the games.
And neither one of our teams went to the Super Bowl.
That's true.
See, this is the problem with Baltimore. I mean, I know that in Chicago they have something that's called the Second City Syndrome.
Right.
Where everybody in Chicago feels bad because New York and L.A. are considered the big towns in America.
Right.
And everybody in L.A. and New York say that Chicago is a crappy cow town. So the people in Chicago walk around with a chip on their shoulder.
Right.
Well, I got news for you. People in Baltimore walk around with a big 2x4 on their shoulders.
There seems to be a bit of an inferiority complex.
For Washington?
Yes.
Please.
Of course.
Then why? right.
We go, you know, let me tell you something. We go all over the country, different affiliates, different cities. I don't think we've ever had any other city where we go into and somehow we are associated with the Redskins and Washington, and everybody seems to have a problem with it than Baltimore. That's where it happens, and it doesn't happen anywhere else.
If somebody from the Redskins killed somebody, we'd be talking about it. If somebody from the Seattle Seahawks killed somebody, we'd be talking about it.
I agree. But I just like this guy. I've met this guy, and he's a nice guy.
Are you talking about the football player?
Yes.
Well, who gives a rat's ass about the football? We're trying to get people to come down and play our nude feud tonight.
I know, but I just wanted to voice my objection.
Your objection to what?
What you're objecting to is...
Another Raven kills...
I thought it was a very funny joke.
For the final time...
Kills means one had to have killed already.
For the final time, we do a comedy show, jackass. Christ, I am going to call Stony Case and ask him to go kill you. Would you please just go away? Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah, and you know, it's one thing you can say, I thought it was a good line, too. Yeah.
It was.
That's just one of your throwaways. I thought it was one of your better
ones. That's why I said it more than once.
Pretty damn good.
Right.
You know, call and complain for the bad line.
It's all about civic pride.
Come on.
He's innocent until proven guilty. This is a black eye for the whole city of Baltimore.
You know, and I watched, and you watch SportsCenter, I watch the news, and that is the truth. The truth is you're making a joke about the situation because it's the situation to make a joke about.
And listen, I could give a rat's ass if he killed anybody or not. All I care about is last night at 7 o'clock, they took us off so that the local station could do some kind of stupid in-depth coverage about it.
Absolutely.
That's all I care about.
You know, and I'll be honest with you. I hope the guy's not guilty. I hope he didn't do it. But it just seems to me that, you know, here we go. We got another situation with a guy in the NFL that is hanging out with, you know, if he's hanging out with a limo full of guys and some other guys in the limo killed somebody, that's not all that hot
not
either.
Good. Well, I don't care if he killed anybody or not. I just care about the fact that a show is taking off at 7.
Okay.
And we're trying to take calls for the new queue.
You have your eyes on the prize.
Hello, Steve from Maryland.
Yes, sir.
Steve, are you a nude feuder?
I'm me and my three girls.
Oh, one guy, three girls?
I got three roommates, all girls.
God, it sounded like you were talking about your daughters for a second. You know, when a man says, me and my three girls, you know.
There'd be nothing wrong with a father bringing his three adult daughters to play our game.
That's what I plan to do, Dom. Hey, I'll be playing those games when I get older.
What are the girls' names, Steve?
Cindy, Daisy, and Joe Mama.
Oh, who's that guy?
Nice going, Rockhead.
Rockhead, how many times is that guy going to beat you?
Every time.
Yeah.
Please.
God.
I've asked Ray Lewis to kill Rockhead.
I should have heard his voice.
Hello, Grant.
Yes. Hello, how are you today?
Grant, we're fine. Where are you calling from, sir?
This is Grant Napier calling from Sacramento.
Okay.
Go Kings, baby.
Rockhead, come here. Come here for a minute.
Was he on hold also that
Yeah.
time?
When I call someone by their name, they're on feud. I mean, they're online. Mm-hmm. They're screened. It says Grant
feud. You are focused on
Grant
feud.
Baltimore nude feud.
Uh-huh.
Come here. <It's> dope. It's two in a row.
If they lie to me, what else can I do?
Oh, no, you got to be a super sleuth back.
No, what about, did we just have this talk last week about making sure that people are where they say they are?
I'm talking to them. Do you not see me talking to them?
And what question did you ask that guy, who was obviously calling from California?
I ask, you know, who's going to be with you, their name, so they have to come up with some names.
Yeah, well, come on, did you verify that he was calling from Baltimore?
Where? Did you verify that he was calling from Baltimore? Where the show's at.
All of this is stuff he could learn from the radio. Did you verify the guy was calling from Baltimore?
What should I ask? Where's Boobs?
Okay. How many times do I have to tell you this?
Are you looking forward to getting out of here?
If a guy calls from Sacramento and you don't think he's really from Sacramento, you say, what's the dial position of the station? Who's the show that's on before Don and Mike? If the guy says he's calling from Baltimore, I ask him, what's the dial position? What's the name of the main street in downtown Baltimore? What street is the ESPN zone located on? Well, you know what you do, you dumbass? You bluff! You make it sound like you know.
All right.
Get out of here. You're worthless. Big bag of water. Michael Rockhead. Swear to God. I just had a talk with him just last week.
Right.
About ways to get around this problem.
I know. It's frustrating.
It's real easy to find out if someone's lying to you or not. You ask them very simple, basic, elementary questions about the city that they're supposed to be calling from.
Mm-hmm.
And most times these people who call the scammers, they don't have a clue.
Hey, you know, when you talk to Rockhead like that, that means Tom Gavin's going to call.
I'll answer your phone.
Yeah, and he'll put him right through. There'll be no problem. Tom Gavin gets screened every single time on this show.
Well, in fairness to Rockhead, Tom Gavin always answers the questions correctly.
He does. All right, well, now we're going to have nothing but goof callers.
Right.
So let's just wait a couple of seconds. We'll get a couple more people for the Nude Feud. I think we had at least two teams that were semi-solid,
yeah,
right?
I hope so. I really, a couple of those teams sounded, and if they pan out, it could be solid. I'd like to see it.
We like to play, we'll have prizes, nice prizes, for everybody who calls up and actually comes down tonight to participate, even if you're not one of the families that makes it on for the Nude Feud.
And regarding that last guy that called, the guy from Baltimore, you know, I really do feel like we've moved past that in the city of Baltimore. We've had so many appearances up in Baltimore. We got such a relationship going on with everybody up there. And I think everybody realizes that the way we look at it, I mean, that, you know, when we go do a show in our backyard, that's Baltimore as well as Washington, D.C.
Right.
And I thought we've moved past that. When we get a call like that, it reminds me of the way it was a few years back.
When we had drinks thrown on us.
Oh, my God. Please.
We had some history with Baltimore.
Jeez.
Keep calling with your Nude Feud teams, and Rocket will keep limping through these telephone calls as we get through the last few days of his employment at this radio station, because we are actively looking to replace him. And I'll tell you right now, here's the gig. 30 hours a week, we pay $8 an hour,
right,
and you get no benefits.
Absolutely.
That's it. If that sounds good to you, get a resume to Charles Broyhill immediately. You can find him at Boston Market, right down the street.
That's right. And I would encourage that, you know, any of you employees of Hooters that are working around here, you know, just talk to your fellow employees. And,
right.
And suggest, you know, maybe a career change.
Yeah, because we've decided that it's time to get out of the girl answering the phone.
Yes, and preferably a, you know, reasonably attractive woman.
A big-bosomed, full-figure gal.
We figure, you know, we need that just for a little balance around here. Yeah, the ugly, smelly guy thing can only go so far. And I think that's why we all get a little testy with one another.
Sure, regardless of whatever the EEO says, the Equal Employment Opportunity thing.
But we're interviewing everybody. That
yes,
doesn't
we
mean
are.
We're just looking for attractive women.
Right.
We're interviewing everyone.
But we're really looking for a hottie.
Everyone.
To answer our telephones.
Sure.
All right, now, while he continues to limp through this exercise, damn, it's painful to watch him. He is so slow. He's so slow. Now he's probably really giving the people his real Columbo right now.
Where are you from?
Please. Why don't somebody just call the National Zoo and just send down a monkey to answer the telephone? Just send a chimpanzee down.
Not a Michael! Can I help you? This is the man!
Listen, while he is limping through those calls, let me tell you, on today's show, we're going to be playing one of our nasty parlor games. We're giving away a trip anywhere in America.
I love this prize.
Today we're going to be playing What My Husband or Wife or Parents Don't Know Won't Hurt Them.
Very good.
So after we get done with the calls for this thing at the show tonight, we'll be taking your calls for that on today's show.
Yeah, make it a little painless, too. If you know, have a big secret that you've kept from your husband or wife, and you reveal it, and then you say, hey, but honey, we're going anywhere in the country.
Hello, Brian.
Yes.
Brian, pre-screened. Here is Brian from Maryland.
Hi, Brian.
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, my friend.
Obama Rocket, woo, yeah!
That's my fault. I should have recognized, but he disguises his voice. Might be a different guy, though, Dan.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
a copycat crime.
Yes, copycat. And you predicted it. They didn't call it.
And that's the guy that he spent 5 minutes on the phone giving an intricate screening to.
He's, you know, the thing makes me laugh. He's angrier than we are. Right,
you know, where's
now
the producer? Let me call the producer.
Finishing up the last vestiges of his foul.
We could use the producer here to help with the telephones.
You got me. Ford just called to this phone.
Hi, Rocket.
Do you know where he's enjoying lunch today?
He's up in his office.
He's eating up in his office?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Ah. That would be, for those that might not speak Rocket, that would be all right or okay. That was simply,
And, well, that's a wonderful busy signal. That's the sound that lets you know without fail.
That's the chicken business.
He's having food right now.
Hi, you reached the office of Charlie Broyhill. If you hear the busy signal, you'll know that I'm at another desk right now.
I'm eating with my hand.
If you hear the steady busy signal.
Charlie.
Yes.
Hi, it's Don and Mike.
Was it chicken today?
Yes, it was.
All right.
Would there be a chance that you could come down and help Rockhead with the telephones?
Rescue, if you will.
Sure.
Thank you.
Do you want to talk to Laura Korn?
Because we're dying down here.
Okay.
Dying here. Sure. Patch her through.
Okay.
Where are you going to put her on? 444? I'll hang up.
Korn's a coming.
Now, you know, Laura Korn, the sexpert, is banned from this show until she apologizes to us on national television.
Absolutely.
And I believe that she's calling to set up that apology
And here she is now. Hello, Laura.
Hey.
Hello, it's Laura Korn, noted sexpert and best-selling author, and as of this moment, still dead to us.
Yes, banished from this show.
We are channeling.
You're ready to be reborn.
We are channeling right now. We are talking to a dead woman.
I'm reborn.
We're familiar with your plan to get reborn, and we certainly like the idea. So what's going on with that, Laura?
Well, I'm actually looking at myself in the mirror right now, and I'm practicing the following. I'm sorry, Don and Mike.
That's all we've ever asked, Laura.
I'm
all we wanted.
Sorry, Don and Mike.
And what channel will you be offering up that speech on?
Now, I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
That's all we
have. All I'm saying is these five words.
Yes. I'm sorry, Don and Mike. That's all we've ever asked, Laura.
Okay. I'm sorry, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Now, can I throw in that you are fans of the show?
Of what show?
Of I believe it's the Fox News show.
Sure.
I will be making my apology live on this coming Friday.
Oh, absolutely. You can throw it in. You can put it in there any way you want.
2 days from today?
Yes, at 12:40, and then I'm scheduled to walk out of there, get into a cab, go to the airport, and then fly to Washington.
This Friday?
Yes.
Okay.
But how will I know for sure if you've accepted the apology?
Listen, because you have our word about it. You know one thing about us. We're men of our words. I'm telling you, if you apologize to us on national television and Fox News Channel technically qualifies,
that's right,
you're welcome to come on this show and hawk your sex book. All day on Friday.
Okay.
Okay?
So I'm sorry, Don and Mike, and I can throw in that you've actually been on this show, correct?
We've been on their morning show.
On their morning show. You just, any way you want to do it, but those words, that's wonderful.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so 12:40.
12:40 on Friday.
This Friday.
Corn's coming.
We'll be watching.
Okay,
Corn's
can't wait.
Coming.
All right, goodbye.
Okay, I'm coming.
All right, goodbye.
The corn is coming.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, Christ. All right, that's a warning for everybody.
Hey, I'm rubbing my temples already.
That Friday show, I'll tell you right now, that Friday show is going to be jam-packed because, we're going to have two different beavers on. Besides Laura Korn.
Right.
Beaver Cleaver is also on the show on Friday.
The Beaver. Is he going to be in the studio or is he going to be on the phone?
Don't know yet.
Don't know?
Don't yet. TV's Jerry Mathers.
Oh, right.
Will be on the show Friday. And Laura Korn. That is a warning, everybody.
Fresh Korn on Friday.
But Korn will be coming on the show to talk about her sex book.
Very exciting.
That is the Friday. Actually, people like Laura Korn a lot. It's just us, we can't stand her because we have to be in the studio with her for 2 hours when she comes in.
I'm really going to take extra aspirin on Friday.
That's a great idea. About sex. How much she loves sex.
She got that laugh, too. That laugh that's just like...
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, this is David.
Yes, hello, David.
How many days does Rocket actually have left?
Well, that depends on the producer of the show. He is actively screening applicants now for Rocket's replacement.
Okay, that's a good thing. Right. Rocket, he needs to go.
Thank you, David.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
One of the many, many types of individuals that have worn Rocket completely out.
David Cassidy checking in. Always good to hear from you, David. So, listen, let me tell you now why I'm just feeling oogie today. I switched to a spray deodorant. I normally use the roll-on kind.
Mm-hmm. Did you have this problem out in Atlanta also?
Yeah.
Has this something to do with your clothing?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Although I know that you saw the white strips on my clothing.
Yeah, it was a similar type. That's putting the shirt on. You put the shirt on and it gets the deodorant
right
mark.
Well, the problem I have, and I don't want to show you, but I'll describe it to you,
yes,
is that I sprayed on this some kind of underarm deodorant.
Right.
And everything's fine. I got dressed, put my shirt on, came to work, lifted my arm up, and I realized that the underarm hair had gotten all clumped together.
Matted.
And yes, matted is the word. And I reached underneath my shirt, and I went to feel my underarm hair, and it was binding. It was all bound together.
Well, it's the antiperspirant. It's basically what antiperspirant is a glue.
Right. Well, my arm
heals up the pores.
My armpit hair at this point is exactly what you just said. It's glued.
Right.
And I actually went in there with my fingers and tried to dig out my armpit hair.
Oh, man. Was that before or after you ate lunch?
That was after I ate lunch. And right afterwards, I wiped my hands all over your couch in the office before you came in.
I know.
But I could not pry.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I'll try it right now. Right now. See, I just pulled out a clump of...
I'm going to puke. Get that, please. Pull that away. That's really great to me.
I just pulled out a little clump of deodorant. A little clump of deodorant. That actually has one of my underarm hairs right on top of it. Would you like that as a souvenir of today's show?
Please, I swear to God, I'm on barf.
Really, it is?
It just grosses me. Yeah, yes, yes.
You just reached the end of this. Shocker.
Really,
this?
You reached it. I put it in your face.
Stop it.
That's
a very uncomfortable process.
I understand. You know what that is? It's a combination of the underarm deodorant, it's your underarm hair, and it's that sweater you're wearing. That's what it is. Because you got, I saw you had some lint in there, and that's from the material on the sweater. Everything kind of gets all bound up in there.
That's a killer.
Now, you wearing a T-shirt under your...
I am not.
That's another thing. You get that right into that fabric.
What brand is that?
I think it's
white, but it's still a spray.
It is Right Guard powder. Some kind. It comes in a can.
Now, were you a roll-on guy before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. See, I'm a standard, classic deodorant user. I use a deodorant. I think it's
like
been around.
Stick?
Ban roll-on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've used Ban
roll-on. That's a girl's deodorant.
No, it's not.
No,
sure it is.
Ban
and Speed Stick is a man's deodorant.
No, Ban is not a girl's deodorant. Ban is a generic everybody deodorant. The roll-on is secret. That's the woman's
right. Right. As far as I'm concerned, Ban is secret.
It's not secret.
I think it is.
There's nothing girly about my scent.
Now, why is
I've
it...
got regular scent Ban, and I tell you, I am passionate about it. If I can't use another deodorant outside of Ban roll-on.
Why is it? I put my hand discreetly under my shirt and pulled out a clump of deodorant and underarm hair, and you were going to throw up. Yet you put your entire face in your armpit and start smelling.
You could do the show with your face down there. It was the fact that you produced a piece of body. You produced a piece of hair that had been matted together. That's what got me, and it was sitting on the end of your finger like a snot. That's what got me.
I like it more to Clarence Thomas.
with the pubic hair.
Yes, it was right. a curly little underarm hair.
It's very uncomfortable. I'm finding it hard to move my arms around.
I think it has to do with that material that you're wearing.
And Mike's right. It's like glue, and so you have to be careful not to use very much of it, because a little goes a long way.
I know that if you got a standard Right Guard in the brown can of the Right Guard Sport, not the powder kind, you'll be fine. There's no gunk to get gunked up down there.
And I don't adhere to the buzz thing about putting very little on. I really just lay it on.
So do I, man.
I slather it on like down near my waist.
Wow.
And you know what's excellent is Tussie. Have you ever tried that?
Oh, you know my mom used Tussie. Do you ever put deodorant on your genitals?
No.
I do.
No, I wash my genitals thoroughly.
I do, and I don't know why I do.
Over and over again.
But I do every day.
Roll on deodorant down there?
No, I put cologne on my genitals.
Oh, do a little spritz.
Yes, after I get done, I do it on my neck, then on my head, then a little bit on my shoulders.
And then you spray your genitals.
My genitals.
Ever get any itching or burning down there after you spray?
No.
Okay.
I don't know why I do that.
Is that before or after shaving?
Shaving my genitals,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, when you spray it on me.
I was after shaved my genitals.
It's going to burn.
It's a nice stain, though.
Remember, we talked to that prostitute once on the show. This was years ago, but she told us the good prostitute rule is, if it smells like cologne, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Well, I can't help it, Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know.
I remember that line.
Right?
If it smells like cologne, leave it alone.
Right.
You never know who might be down there.
Exactly.
You never know what... You know, I would hate to get in some kind of an accident. I'd hate to be killed by a member of the Baltimore Ravens on my way to the show tonight.
Right.
And when I'm in the emergency room, they pull down my pants and they say, boy, he doesn't smell good down there. I'd rather be, laying out in the morgue and they say,
right.
Damn, his genitals smell great. God, what a tragedy that this guy was killed by a Baltimore Raven.
Your hair smells terrific. They have unscented Ban roll-on, too. And I would tell you, the Ban roll-on has the big super large ball, which I just think is fantastic.
Kind of phallic, I think.
Yeah, well, maybe it is, but it works for me, and I love it. I'm so passionate about I'm passionate about all my cosmetics.
Hello, Mark. Mark.
Do you know the best face wash, the best face scrub that I have?
What would that be?
It's the new Clearasil face scrub. And it's not, you don't have to have acne to use it because I'm 40 and I've left acne, fortunately, in the rearview mirror, but I use it.
Well, so says you.
Yeah, right.
Every once in a while, you come in with it.
Well, we all do, yeah. Right.
But nobody like Charlie Broyhill.
Nobody comes close to Broyhill. Well, he's younger than we are, too. So this stuff is just super. It's just super. It goes on nice and light.
Is that the stuff that Jennifer Love Hewitt does the ad for?
I'm not sure. It comes in a, I like all the things that you press, that you press the button and it comes out in a little, one of those modern toothpaste dispensers.
Like you get a little goo in your hand?
Yeah, a little goo in your hand. And I've tried other face scrubs. But that's the only one. And I swear by my Clairol Herbal Essence shampoo.
I used to like Clairol Herbal
Essence. For oily hair.
When I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I bought a bottle of that recently, and they changed it. It doesn't smell the same way it used to in high school.
It's not as artificial as it used to be.
It kicked ass when I was in high school. I used to love Clairol Herbal Essence
because
shampoo.
Because it has so much astringent in it. And, you know, in the oily high school days.
It smelled so great, man.
And it would, like, wash out of your hair, and your hair would be super squeaky.
That is the smell that I definitely associate with high school.
Sure.
Clairol Herbal Essence.
I associate vomit with high school.
Hello, Eric.
Yes.
Eric, my friend.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys have tried the Arm & Hammer deodorant. That's what I use. It's Arm & Hammer Fresh Scent. Does that sound gay to you or what?
Is it a roll-on or is it a spray?
It's a roll-on, but it's kind of like a blue liquid type of roll-on. It's not really a powder.
No, I don't think that anything that's made by Arm & Hammer would be called a gay cosmetic.
But don't you think, how can you say BAM is gay? BAM is, it doesn't even sound gay.
He said Hammer.
Hammer, Arm & Hammer.
And I do use deodorant on my genitals too, by the way. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
It should be made. You do not use deodorant. You use cologne.
Just cologne on my genitals.
You spray.
And I don't know why I think BAM is gay. I do. When I walk down the aisle in the supermarket looking to buy a deodorant.
You got two layers on, so it's hard to... No, see, the thing I like about it,
you have no problem putting your entire face down to two shirts you're wearing to smell your armpit.
No, I don't.
But I do this...
Well, that's because it's me. You know, it's me right. When I know.
When I do this, and I pull out...
Oh,
okay,
my God.
Okay, take a look at that.
Jesus.
Take a look at that. I just brought out a big clump of this deodorant, and look at all that hair. Cool.
Yeah.
Can you see that from there, Bob?
That's the most hair you have.
Look at that. Absolutely. Hey, Mike.
That's so great.
How you doing?
Just you hold your own hair.
Come on, look at it.
I don't want to. Okay.
Look at it.
I just.
You know, dude? Robbie, give me a piece of tape.
No, don't do something like that. Where are you gonna put it?
Just right here on the board.
No, don't put it there. Don't.
Why?
Put it, because it'll gross me out.
I know.
Please don't. Okay, I'll do stuff with feet. I'll come over. I'll rub my feet on you.
Okay. All right.
Proof.
It's a standoff. Okay. All right, uncle. Never mind on that. All right, you know what, Rob? Yeah. I'll just leave it over here. Just so I can look at it.
There. Yeah. Because you enjoy it.
Doesn't
that hurt? When you're pulling, I mean, did you seriously look like you yanked out half your underarm hair?
Well, it was the only way that I could actually get my arm to move because this stuff had, like, fused
it's
my
that
arm.
That thing, I bet that's not cotton that you're wearing there. That's a synthetic, man-made material that you're wearing, and that's why...
There it is right there. Immortalized on a piece of paper. How would you feel if I just put this on the window to the studio?
That's fine. I can't see it over there.
And then we should get it out to the fans.
Oh, my. There you go.
Yeah, it is nasty, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, it's a souvenir. It looks like someone's taking a grasshopper or something.
Oh, God.
Just put a piece of tape off and put it over the wall.
Grasshopper with really thick legs.
Okay, well, time out. I do want to hear about, you know, I've been here talking about my stupid underarm hair, and Mike actually has a real medical story to tell us.
Yes.
About the procedure.
Yeah, it's kind of easy on the medical end. And big time on the stupidity.
But first, let's clear these lines right now. And give someone a chance to win up to $10,000.
All right.
With the secret celebrity laugh number 3. Everybody's coming close. Nobody's got it yet. We got a chance for you to win up to 10 grand right now. Good luck. Be the 100th person to call Rockhead.
Yeah.
Telephone number still 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140.
That's in Worcester and Webster, Mass.
Yeah. Here to solve the riddle of the tale, Don and Mike.
I'm going to call her 100 right now.
All right.
For the secret celebrity laugh, as we do most days at this time. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, am I caller 100?
Hola, yes you are. What is your name, please?
My name is Ziad.
Ziad? Ziad with a Z?
Yes, Ziad.
Ziad, turn your radio down, please. And where are you calling from, Ziad?
From Lodi, California.
And where are you from originally, Ziad?
Well, my parents are from Syria, but I was born here.
Buzz's microphone is not on.
Hi.
Thank you.
No, I'm on a cell phone, but I hope you guys can hear me.
Gotcha, Ziad.
We can, Ziad.
Ziad, is it Ziad or Ziad?
It's Ziad, actually.
That's very much like the riddle of Adrian Zmed. Was it Adrian Zmed or Adrian Zmed?
I always thought it was Adrian Zmed.
Damn, I love you guys. I listen to you all the time. I was at your show in Sacramento.
Thank you. I always thought it was Adrian Zmed.
Zmed?
That's what I always heard.
Zmed.
Yeah.
I thought it was Adrian Zmed.
Adrian Zmed, Bob Zemeckis.
Bobby Zemeckis.
Bobby Z.
Who's that guy who called him that on our show? Charles Fleischer.
Yeah, that's right. Bobby Zemeckis.
Bobby Zemeckis, Back to the Future.
I love when they use those names.
All right, my friend, caller 100, thank you for listening. What, Robbie?
And Bob Zmuda.
Bob Zmuda, right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, Bob Zmuda.
The Andy Kaufman guy. Mm-hmm. You won the Playboy prize pack. Everybody call 1-800-500-8800 to order a subscription to Playboy magazine. Are you ready to garner a guest at the Secret Celebrity Laugh?
I think so.
Have you heard this laugh before?
Yeah, I'm not sure who it is, but I'll give it a go.
Hmm. Well, you might be playing possum with me, but let's roll the dice. Let's play for $5,000.
Oh, my God.
That's a nice big jackpot.
$5,000.
$5,000 on the line right now. If you come up with the correct secret celebrity, you walk away with $5,000 as the new general manager just walks down the hallway.
With an entourage? I mean, look like a parade of people urgently running down the hallway.
Are you ready? Good luck. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Ziad.
Like Ziad, as we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
You know, this is the talent. I'm going to pump Mike up now.
Okay.
This is the talent of Mike. You're going to sing like Ziad.
Yes.
When none of us actually know what Ziad sounds like.
Yes.
Ziad, $5,000 American dollars on the line now. Who is that?
I'm going to guess Katie Couric from the Today Show.
Ziad.
Yes.
Ziad, in your native country, how much is $5,000 American dollars in Turkey?
About 25,000 Syrian lev. No, make it 250,000 Syrian lev.
Unbelievable. That's a lot of money,
man. Ziad?
I gave it a go.
Yeah, it's a moot point. You're absolutely wrong. A good guess, though, and thank you. Every guess is a good
one. For you.
Thank you, Ziad, buddy.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Thank you, the Z-Man. Hold on, please. Now, listen. While the contest players drop off the lines,
yes,
we're going to leave the lines open because I've been told that we only have one family
that's 100% sure
for tonight's nude feud at the Las Vegas style show.
And we're looking for more.
So if you're a group of people with at least one woman, two guys, one woman's okay, but two and two would be best.
Mm-hmm.
You want a chance to win $250 and you're coming to the Las Vegas style show tonight. We'll hook you up before the show with free drinks and get you all primed and ready to come on stage with us. Please call now. I feel confident asking you to call now because the producer is answering the telephones now.
Excellent.
Telephone number is 1-877-365-3636. We'll break it as soon as we get the second family.
Good.
For tonight's nude or semi-nude feud at the Las Vegas style show in Bohagers in Baltimore. So call now if you'd be interested in playing that game on stage with us tonight. If you were listening to the show yesterday, those of you in Baltimore didn't hear this part of the show because the Ravens player killed that guy, allegedly.
Allegedly.
But Mike was scheduled to have a colonoscopy.
That's right.
This morning.
Yes.
So last night at 7.
I drank, I think it's called Fleet Phosphosoda.
This right. Poop juice,
which is a saline laxative that is designed to cleanse the bowel for medical procedures.
Right. And I wish we had bet money on it, because I bet that you would have a poop within 20 minutes, and it was like 18 minutes later that you had to run out of the studio.
And 18 minutes later was nothing. I had really, the next time I do this, if I ever have to do it again, that's coming. I will do that either not on the show,
right,
or I will do it when I get home. Because they say, be close to facilities when you do that type of thing. And on my drive home is when it really hit.
So what did you do?
I barely made it home, but I'm powerful down there. So I was able to hang right in there. But, you know, I had to drink this stuff because the procedure, they all, I guess, do it different ways. The doctors that have you do this, but that you drink this stuff. And then the next morning, you have to drink more of it 3 hours before you're going to leave for the appointment.
So you had to get up at what time this morning to drink your second blast of poop juice?
4 a.m.
4 a.m. up to drink more poop juice.
Before I tell you what happened today, I will tell you that it's days like this that make me occasionally wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, good morning, Mike, you silly ass.
That's the way I felt today. I'll tell you what happened. This was a big deal. You know, it's anytime somebody's going down and doing a procedure down there, there's an amount of stress. It's just, it's not a comfortable thing to have.
I didn't like it.
It's not cool. I'm not looking forward to it. I've had problems down there anyway. You know, it's something I have to do because the doctor says I have to do it, but I'm not looking forward to it. So, I mean, last night...
What guy wants another guy taking a giant stick with a camera on the end of it and shoving it up his bum.
Amen.
It's just not fun. It's not natural.
I was nervous about it. And the thing is, with mine, not only did I have to drink that stuff at the end of the show yesterday, but I couldn't eat all day. I could not eat anything except for clear liquids,
right,
broth, stuff like that all day long. So I prepare for this thing for a solid 24 hours in advance. It changes, you know.
Solid is not the word.
Solid is not the word at all. Mm. So I go home, and I'm basically, hi. I say hi to the kids. I say that to them on the dead run as I run through the kitchen. I'm like, hi, kids, how you doing? Daddy's got to go... And then I'm in the bathroom for the rest of the night until I go to bed. Well, then I set the alarm for 4 a.m., thinking that I'll get up because I have to drink this stuff. I'll get up, drink the stuff, let it do its work, and then, you know, retire and, you know, get a couple hours of shut-eye. Leave for the doctor's office at 7 o'clock, get to the hospital where he's going to do it at 8 o'clock, and I'll be all set. So I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second?
You got a family?
Yeah, because I think we got our second family.
Okay.
Hello, is this David?
Yeah.
David, where are you calling from, my friend?
Andrews Air Force Base.
Are you coming out to the show tonight at Bohagger's?
No, actually, I just wanted to prove that Joe Rockhead is an idiot and that he can't scream and call because I got through. Happy you and your mama, too.
So, anyway,
it's not Joe Rockhead. It's Mike Rockhead.
And that was...
Charlie did that.
Incidentally, that was...
Neither. That was me.
That was you.
Charlie Broyhill's work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the thing is, I'm getting ready to do this procedure.
I would say F all you people.
Yeah,
out
F you all. F you all.
You know, I've got a very stressful story I want to tell you.
Yeah.
All right. I'm telling you that I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I drink this stuff, and I say, I'll go back, and I get a couple hours of shut-eye. Well, I drink this stuff, and as soon as I drink it, I can't get back to sleep because I know that this stuff's happening down there.
And Bumble, then we're going to have Bumble and Cruise.
Yeah, there's going to be Mount St. Helens in probably, you know, 30 minutes or less, like it was the last time. And so I'm up and I'm like getting on the net. You know, I'm looking at email. I'm just not comfortable. And I finally, you know, it hit. But it didn't hit like yesterday. It took longer, which surprised me. And that, Rob, I swear to God, that sound effect is not all that far away from what it sounded like down there. And I'm, you know, I'm tired. I stayed up too late. And it hits. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Yes, sir. Congratulations. It's time to cleanse it. And I'm checking it out every time I'm doing this. Because the ultimate goal is that by the time you're done, it's going to be
clear.
You know, it's going to be clear.
Clean enough to eat off your colon.
And frankly, you know, even at the very end, it wasn't all that clear.
No, of course.
It was semi. Is that the way it's supposed
to be?
Yeah,
that's not unusual.
Okay, thank you, doctor.
I didn't know that.
To be loved by anyone. So I get done with this. I'm ready to go. I jump in the shower about 6:30, and I'm going to leave at 7 o'clock. And just about the time I was going to get into the shower, I was lying down, and I was watching TV. And as I put my feet down on the ground, I stood up. And that's when the lack of food for 24 hours and, you know, the little procedure, I got a little woozy. Started, you know, just a little bit back and forth and was taking a shower and kind of going, yeah, you know, I'm a man who requires a great deal of caloric intake to sustain this frame.
Sure.
And so I was very woozy.
Ooh-y.
And I'm just tired. I'm run down. I'm nervous about the procedure. Get in the car. I head off to this hospital. And I'm not used to dealing with
morning drive traffic.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. There I go again. I say it every time in 2000 because this... I went three different routes to see if I could get, you know, away from the bees, from the people that are going on the same route every day and how they stand it. You know, you talked about the sun delays.
Uh-huh.
I was on one of those eastbound routes that where you're looking directly into the sun. And it's not like you can't drive with it, but it is certainly uncomfortable to have the sun, even with your visor down, burning your corneas
right.
As you're going to work every day. I finally get to the hospital, and I see all these cars. I'm near where the hospital is, and I figure I'll take a shortcut because I see all these people going down this back road. So I take it, just saying, well, maybe that'll be quicker. And I got real lucky, and I was real happy, because I made it to the hospital in this back way, and I didn't even know where I was going. So I get in there, I park the car, I'm a little, you know, the heart rate's starting to go up. I go down to the registration desk, and I say, hello. And of course, there happen to be two very attractive nurses that are standing at the registration desk talking to the... You know, the battle axes that are behind the counter. You know, the volunteers are like, yeah, can I help you? And I don't want to go in. Hello, yeah, someone's going to be putting something up my dookie today. And so I walk up and I said, hi, this is Michael. I have a colonoscopy today. What's that, sir? Who's the doctor?
Dr. Goldstein.
And the procedure you're having?
Dr. Steve Goldstein.
I want to say.
And, okay, just a minute. He's not on the list.
I said, what do you mean?
He's not on the list. I said, I just want to have, you know, I want to have the procedure done here at Schedule C. And I show her my slip. And I said, there's my slip. Can you please do that? She said, just a minute. Let me check. And she goes through her records. And no, there's no one here that's supposed to do that today. You might want to call the office. So this time I'm like, you know, I'm really almost like in an immediate rage.
You're getting mad.
I prepared. My colon is empty, please. So I say to the lady, can you check again? She checks again, and
then, I just like to point out that Mike is extra double frantic.
Mm-hmm.
He's as frantic as he is about getting on an airplane.
Right.
Like when anything can slip him out.
Oh yeah.
He's double frantic when it comes to anything medical, and when it's his dookie.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like triple frantic.
Well, and you know what? You're exactly right, because that's the way I am with an airplane. You know, with the stress, it's like. Well, we're kind of similar that way. We both want to be both on that airplane first,
right?
You know, get me on there. Just get it over. Just get me. Let's go. Let's get it started.
Right.
And I call the office, and I get an answering machine because it's real early. And I says, well, we'll have the doctor call. So the doctor calls me and says, hi, how you doing? I said, I'm here. I'm at the hospital. I have a colonoscopy scheduled. There's no one here. You know, I'm trying to keep it together, but I'm bordering on that indignant, you know, how dare you put me through this? And I'm really starting. He said, I'm at the other hospital today. Yes, I don't understand.
I've got the sheet. The sheet's right. Right here, and I'm here. It's checked off at this hospital.
Listen, did you do the procedure?
I said, yes, I did the procedure.
Yeah, did you drink the poop juice?
Right.
The prep work.
Right.
You know, like painting a house. I painted the colon. I'm fine. So he says, listen, I'll see what's going on. In these cases, if you did the prep work, they can usually get you in at the other place, the other hospital. I'm like, oh, God.
The hospital you're at now.
No, the other place. I was going to have to go to the other place.
Oh, his hospital.
At this point, I'm saying, hey, I'd rather have that done, and it's not that far away, so it's fine. And he goes, I said, I'll call you back in 10 minutes. He's real cool, so couldn't be nicer, very nice guy.
Good.
And about this time, I just get out the sheet, and I've been looking at the sheet, and all I have been looking at.
The sheet you had yesterday?
Yes, the pink sheet.
The pink sheet?
All I've been looking at. Are the instructions on what to do with my dookie.
I'd just like to point out that during the last hour of the show yesterday,
yes.
That's all Mike was doing.
Was looking at that.
Staring at this pink piece of paper that had the instructions for taking this poop juice.
Conservatively, I've looked at that piece of paper 300 times.
And you don't even know the discussion that Mike and I had during the commercials
about how much stuff to put in the goofy stuff to make you go. Right.
Here's how it was written. It said, drink one, number one, and next to it, one half ounces.
Right.
Mike said to me, do you think that means drink one half?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think it means drink one and a half? And I looked at the paper and I said, it means drink one and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And you looked at me.
I looked at you like you were trying to, you know, work me. Like you were saying, yeah, I think it's just a half. But and then I realized right away that you were right. And didn't I say that you're right?
Yeah, and it said drink, and then drink one and a half.
So we cleared that up because I was going to do it on the show. I mean, that's the time they say I'm supposed to do
this. I only mentioned this because Mike had been staring at this piece of paper.
I've had it with me. I've protected it. I put it in my wallet. It's the cherished piece of paper that I scoured. First of all, I thought I'd lost it at the house, and I'm looking all over for it. And this is the piece of paper that I have. I could almost commit it to memory. I've looked at it so many times. And it's got what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to take aspirin for a week before or after the procedure.
Right.
You're supposed to do this the day of the procedure, day before the procedure. This is where you're supposed to go. Report to this entrance. Do, and they check everything off. And then they have the date right on the bottom and the time. Get there at 8 o'clock. Procedure starts at 9 o'clock. Right there. And so I'm sitting there, and I finally, you know, my trusted, it's like my security blanket. And as I get off the phone with the doctor, I just whip it out and I look at it. And I look down at the bottom of the page and I say, there it is. It says 9 o'clock. Be there at 8 o'clock at this hospital. And then I look at the numbers. And, you know, we've changed the year and it's a little confusing for checks and such. But I will tell you, I'm a moron. I'm a total moron because on the date, it is not February 2nd. It is not 2/2/2000. It is 3/2/2000. I am at the appointment 1 month earlier than I should be. And I have done. And it's one thing, you know, if you're getting your eyes checked and you show up a month early for I'm gone 24 hours.
You have to wash out your eyes with acid before you get your eyes checked.
I mean, I've had my bowels completely. So at this point, now at the registration desk, I haven't gone
you know, ballistic. I haven't started to freak out.
Good.
But I have copped a little bit of a tude.
Really? You?
I've copped just a tiny bit of a tude. But they're so busy, thank God, that they're not even really aware of it. You know, because there's another lady who's having a super meltdown about some insurance card thing, and thank God for her, because it makes me, you know, pale in comparison.
Right.
But I mean, my reaction was kind of like, oh man, I can't believe this. You know, I just don't understand this. I don't know why they're doing this. And I think at one point I might have said, messed with the wrong guy this time.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I might have said that. You know, but I was saying it like walking away like a wuss. So I was really just the only thing I was totally thankful for is that I wasn't completely over the top. When I talked to the doctor, and I could have been, because I was at that point, you know, I got the cold sweat happening.
Did you go back up to the nurses to tell them?
I ran to the phone. They were letting me use the phone behind the desk. They're letting me use this phone, and I run back there, and I'm doing this. I'm calling the doctor's answering machine, because I immediately want to say, and I get this answering machine lady that's just... It's a different person. So I'm hoping that this answering machine company will be the answering service for the doctor. Mm-hmm. Will be the same lady, and it's not. It's like, what's this? I have a colonoscopy. I called the doctor. I told him he was not here. I was here. And the bottom line is I'm a month early, and I tell him I am so terribly sorry. I did not mean to do this. Please. Please tell him I didn't mean to do this. I'm very sorry. You see, here's the situation. She's like, excuse me, sir. What is your name? And I say, my name is Michael Mira. I had the procedure scheduled today, and I called him. I was a little upset, and I said, I was here. He wasn't. Could you please tell him it's all been a terrible, horrible mistake? Please. So she said, what is it? I said, and then at this point, the lady from the hospital has to use this phone and says, sir, we need to use that phone. And I'm like, I know you need to use this phone. I'm just on the phone with the answering machine. Just tell him it's been a terrible mistake. I read the thing wrong, and I'm 1 month early, and I totally screwed up. Like, you can understand that. And meanwhile, the lady with the insurance card is over there going, they've got the wrong card for me. And it's like this mini pandemonium down there. And I'm just trying to get word to the doctor. You know what I want to do, sir? Seriously, I want to run out of the hospital lobby. I want to run like a girl crying.
Right.
I just want to go, I'm such an idiot. So I go back, and I'm pacing back and forth, and I decide I'll call my wife, and I'll tell her. And so she says, I call Laura, and I said, hi, Laura, I just want you to know, it wasn't his fault. It was my fault. I'm a month early. And Laura's reaction, you know, because I'd never do something like this, is like, yeah, okay. And so, you know, that's standard behavior for me. I'm not exactly the single most organized person in the world.
Do you use your Palm Pilot?
No, I did not. I should have. I
should have.
But the Palm Pilot, I've got all the phone numbers in there.
I do.
I should have used it. I'll use it next time.
Well, I got open the grocery store at about 11 o'clock, and Frida said, she worked me real good. She said, Mike just called. Mm-hmm. Like, real serious. She's good friends. She said, Mike just called. I said, yeah? What is it? She said,
because I know you know the procedure. There's that, always that little, you know.
Mr. Romero, we're going to have to keep you for the rest of your life.
She said, it's about his colon.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, really? What? She said, you better sit down. Oh, my God. So right away I'm thinking, you're going to be in the hospital. I'm already thinking, like, okay, how do I do the show? What do we do? I sit down and go, okay, what? She says, he went a month early.
Thank God I did. The doctor calls back at the registration desk, and meanwhile he's made the arrangements to squeeze me in. So he's been
spending the bun.
he is so cool. He is like, and I had newfound respect for him.
So did you have it done today?
No, I did not. What he said was, we can squeeze you in. We can, you know, when you've done the prep work, they usually have some degree of flexibility. They don't, you know, they try to get you in there, and I can get you in there, but it would be later in the day, and I know that you have to go to work, and even though I told you not to go to work, he said, you know, I don't want you to do that. And he said, I said, look, I remember saying this to him. I said, if you want to drop me as your patient, you can. If you want to say goodbye to me as your patient, because I felt like the complete moron. This is a 3 and not a 2. Okay, this is one number and I think I really have some sort of dyslexic thing happening with numbers sometimes, because I don't know how. But you know the other thing? I think you had mentioned that when I get eager about something, when I'm anxious, that's the word, anxious. Right. I want to get it over with. And somehow I had put in my mind that this procedure was in February and not March, and I was very eager to get it done. And he was just like, well, okay, no problem. And then I started asking him, well, after you do this, what should I eat? What should I eat? What should I eat? He said, yeah, you know, have some bread, have a bagel, and then you can eat normally, diet, you know, you'll be fine. And I'm like, thank you, doctor. Sorry about that. I'm sorry I got a little upset. I really thought that you'd say, and he's saying, yes, no problem. You have a nice day. I'm like, okay. Like, and I just, you know, you realize why I'm a disc jockey and he's a medical professional, because, you know, it's, you know, the IQs are just about here. You know, as I'm down here going, you hurt me. You know, and
you had to know when he hung up the phone, he hung up the phone and said, you want to hear the dumbest thing that's ever happened?
Sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure he said to his nurse, you ever listened to Don and Mike show?
Oh, I'm sure. He had never listened to the show. And when I went in there, he said, hey, well, I'll give it a listen. I think during the course of the conversation, he might have said, I listened once or twice. And, you know, and I listened once or twice. I mean, with you know, no comment either or. And
that's the killer when someone says that, too.
I listened once or twice. And then, no, I'm sure he hung up the phone, probably looked at the nurse and just went, silly ass. Mike O'Mara, the silly ass.
We will come right back. Your phone calls, and maybe we'll get the extra family for tonight's show. Coming right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hagerstown, Maryland, hello.
Hi, thanks, Larry. This is for Senator Bob Dole.
Go.
Yes, Don and Mike, Arner, you're coming out on the erectile...
Okay, I think that was a gag call. I cut it because they mentioned two local disc jockeys.
What?
Practicing total speaker control. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Our Vegas-style show is tonight, so to speak. I need the speaker control,
right? Yes, of course.
Funny how those come up in the rotation.
And it makes me realize how much of our show, you know, involves the dookie.
A Vegas-style show tonight. Bo Hager's in Baltimore. I forgot to mention, besides the fact that we're trying to get together
the nude feud.
Yeah. We have one family already. If we don't get another family, we just pull people from the crowd.
Right.
Besides that, and besides the brand new game, Whose Ass Is That?
Uh-huh.
We are bringing back the liquid latex.
Oh, fantastic.
Where Buzz will be pulling girls out of the audience.
Good.
And liquid latexing their breasticles.
Wonderful.
Excellent. That's tonight, plus the Homo Joe Challenge, plus the show, the Big Dyke Challenge, plus an appearance by Dennis Murphy, and the Underwear Fashion Show. All of that at Bo Hager's in Baltimore. We will hit the stage at 9.
At the Bow Dome.
Hope to see you there.
Yeah.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, this is Sam Huff.
Hey, Sammy.
How's everybody doing today?
We're doing great. Hope you got your good stuff today, Sam.
Oh, I hope I do, too. Did you know that we were down in Atlanta for the annual Huff Family Nude Super Bowl party back
then? Oh, I didn't know the Huff Family had a nude Super Bowl party.
Oh, I tell you what, Mike, it's a great thing. Every year we have the nude Super Bowl party. Unfortunately, my sister Mildred couldn't make it this year because she had the hemorrhoids.
Oh, right, Mildred Huff. We've heard all about her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. I guess you would say that Mildred...
She came up in the short end of the stick.
Right. Thank you, Sammy.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
All right, well, see, that's how we should do it.
Absolutely.
On and gone.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sam Huff. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It was Chip Bandwidth.
Doctor. Wasn't he the doctor? Wasn't he the doctor? Wasn't he the doctor? Your colonoscopy today?
Yes, Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
Hello, Dave.
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air, Dave.
Hey, Don and Mike, this is Dave. I'm calling from right outside of D.C. on the road right now.
You see, Dave, when I said, hi, Dave, that indicated to the audience that you were Dave. There was no need to repeat, this is Dave.
I'm curious about that also. Dave, when Don said, hi, Dave, did you hear him say, hi, Dave?
No, I did not.
Oh. Because, I mean, I clearly heard Don pick up the phone and you were on the other end and he said, hi, Dave, but I guess you didn't pick up on that.
No.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mike, I know what you're going through. It's a terrible feeling knowing you're going to be violated like that. I was thinking modern medical procedures, a nice little fiber optic, but it turned out to be an anaconda going up and violating you.
Well, Don just had it, too, and, you know, as I was discussing with Buzz out in the hallway, I'll look forward to going through the whole thing again.
On March 2nd.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, David, I just wanted to say me and my brother Cheese just love eating nacho cheese.
Tis
and jizz.
Tis trying desperately to get on the you know, the regular calling order.
Can't make it.
No,
I don't
know. Can't do it.
Speaking of jizz, I did want to bring this up. A story that I know will impact gay members of the listening audience.
Uh-huh.
The headline is, oral sex
often transmits the AIDS virus.
Okay.
Now, who knew this? Oral sex may pose a significant AIDS risk.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers reported Tuesday in the most definitive study of its kind. The study indicates that as many as 8% of new HIV infections in gay men result from performing oral sex, a practice thought by many to be relatively low risk, despite isolated reports of infections transmitted that way. That is a shocker.
Wait, I'm not all that shocked because, I mean, haven't they speculated that that could be transmitted that way anyway? That, I mean, any bodily fluid, any, you know, saliva could...
But if that's the case, then you could get AIDS just by kissing a guy.
Yeah.
If you kiss some guy or girl with AIDS, you could get it.
I would think so. If you kiss somebody and... And there was...
And you swap spit.
And you swap spit, and there was some way to get it into your bloodstream.
There's even been talk recently that there's an enzyme in human saliva that kills the HIV virus on contact. So there's been a lot of belief that oral sex wouldn't spread AIDS. And in fact, even in the study, I think it only occurred in men who had, like, some kind of cut or injury, you know, in their mouth.
Here's what it says. Previous research indicates that receptive anal sex is 100 times more likely to transmit HIV than oral sex. Though many of the men in this study reported having gum or mouth injuries that allowed the virus to enter their blood, researchers could not confirm those reports at the time the interviews were conducted. Let me see. It also says that there's a lot less unprotected anal sex than there was a few years ago, but there's not been the same reduction in unprotected oral sex, which has become an important mode of transmission.
You know what I get from hearing that article? It seems to me that they still don't know. They still really don't have a clue. I mean, I really, as far as how that's transmitted and exactly how it gets where it's supposed to go.
I just want to say, whether it's a male or a female receiving or giving oral sex, if there's a condom involved...
I agree. What the hell is the point?
Especially if you're the person giving.
Yeah.
Who wants that?
I mean, really, why don't you just, it's like chewing on a balloon.
Uh-huh. I mean, who wants that?
Yeah.
I was wondering, I like some of the gay members of our audience, starting with Homo Joe and his new friend who he's bringing to the bringing to the show tonight.
Joel.
I'd like to know how they feel about this. Because you got to know.
I would imagine it would be cause for concern.
You got to know that Joe has unprotected oral sex all the time.
I would think that, from his track record and what he said to us, that might be true.
How many men did he tell us he slept
250.
With?
250. Mm-hmm. And, the thing about it is they still... Even with that research, I wonder how credible that research is, because how do they really know? I mean, you're basing it on interviews. You're basing it on people talking about their sex life and whether people are going to be completely forthright about what they're doing.
They say they have new clinical tests that make it easier for the doctor to pinpoint exactly when it happened. But like you said, it's still up to the individual to be completely honest and accurate about what happened at that time.
And now they said that AIDS started in the 1930s.
Right. The beginning, the first strain of AIDS, I guess, in the 1930s.
It's AIDS, see?
AIDS.
See? I'm sorry, I can't give you oral sex unless you wear a condom, see?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to do the big gangster picture, see? Yeah, St. Valentine's Day Massacre, see?
See?
Hard to believe way back then.
See? All right, now listen. 1930.
Yeah.
Listen, I'd love to have gay sex with you. You got to wear a condom, see?
What's a condom? The 1930s. Have they been invented yet?
Oh, yeah. They're made out of
sheepskin or whatever they use.
Lambskin.
Lambskin.
Very nice lambskin condom, see?
Yeah, very exciting, see?
Wear my big fedora.
Oh, man, I tell you. No, don't do that to me. That's a good way to get a disease.
And my Model T.
See? Yeah, in the 1930s.
See?
Hey, Prohibition and AIDS. Fantastic.
See?
Wow.
God. Lousy woozy.
Man, oh, man. Yeah. I bet you back in the 1930s, though, they didn't have, they didn't worry about kind of stuff like that.
Hey, Capone, I know that you know.
McCloud.
Well, the 1930s
McCloud
would have been when it got passed.
McCloud, when you give me oral sex, I gotta wear a condom. McCloud?
Yeah, okay, Chief.
McCloud?
From monkeys to humans. That's how it really got started for humans. And
because the 1930s, that's the first time that that humans began to have sex with monkeys.
Had to be in the first, so I blame Tarzan.
In the 1930s. Yeah. So it's Johnny Weissmuller's
fault. It has to be.
All right, here's the guy who says he's a doctor from Baltimore. Dr. Mike.
Gentlemen.
Yeah.
I'm listening to your report, and there's a couple of things that are either... is that the abbreviated report from the AMA?
We're in your story from the USA Today.
May I go on record?
Yeah.
I question the sincerity of a good doctor. I question his credentials as a physician.
I'm reading a story out of USA Today.
Okay. Penn State and Johns Hopkins. I work at the Homewood campus now, Mike.
All right, just checking. You understand we've been duped a few times today.
I understand.
Alleged doctor person.
you're missing one point. The study, as it relates to the increase in oral sex, has to do with the ejaculation of semen. If that does not occur, the risk is still very low.
Okay, so what you're saying is that's the primary vehicle, alleged doctor person, for the transmission of the disease.
That's correct, Mike.
Okay, almost so what, I guess what? Your advice would be hold it.
Almost as what?
See?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good going, Mike.
You're Thank going. You very much.
Good going. Smart guy. Hey, smart guy.
Hello.
Diane.
Yes.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Diane. We're doing great.
Good. I was just curious if either of you watched Regis last night.
Diane, have you ever given oral sex to a man with a condom?
No.
Okay. Then I watched Regis. I watched it for a few seconds last night.
You know, I don't want to sound... I hate to say this, but I must say, Regis looks so much better on that show than he looks on his show.
Well, look at
They doll him up so much
you
nicer.
You have, like, the Disney animatronics guys giving him his makeup and his life support.
They're using putty or paint or something, but, I mean, he does not... He looks younger on that show. He looks much younger.
And they have much better lighting on that show than they do on the Regis and Kathy C. show. Yes, Diane, I did see it for a second. What about Regis?
Well, I was just curious if what you thought about his comments about white men and how they need more color on the show.
I didn't know that he said that. I didn't see that part. What did he say?
Well, the first contestant on there was a woman, and he said, you know, this is the 10th woman we've had out of 96 people. And he said the rest have all been white males. And we really need to get some minorities on the show, so come on, put the phone calls in, minorities. And
did he say it like that?
Did he say that for a baby?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And then
hey, minorities, call.
They had out of 10 contestants, they had one of the guys was Hawaiian, and he said, this is such and such from Hawaii. And he says, aloha. And he's all excited about it, and I couldn't believe it. There were several comments throughout the show about...
This is Regis Philbin. Are you colored? If you're colored, call who wants to be a millionaire.
Hi, minorities. Regis Philbin here. Call my show. That's dangerous when Regis starts wading into that arena.
If anybody has a tape of that, I'd love to hear that.
Oh, yes. For goodness sakes.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we need some minorities. We've had all white men on this show.
They had another guy that was... I just saw one question, and I bailed out. I can't watch this show for more than 2 minutes.
No.
Because, especially if you've got one of the guys that's using, like, 18 lifelines to get one question, and I forgot what it was.
Was it the guy with the beard?
Yes.
The guy who had gotten, I think, all the way to 16,000.
Yes.
And hadn't used...
He was going for 32,000.
And as a matter of fact, we just jinxed him. It's like when you watch a football game and they say, this guy's not had a penalty on him all game long, and they call holy... We just said... This guy is amazing. He's not used one lifeline, and then on this question, he asked the audience.
Asked the audience. He called his friend.
It was a Star Search question.
Rosie O'Donnell, Paul Poncet.
Yes.
You saw the same guy.
Yes,
that
I did.
That was a Nimrod. I know. I didn't have it either. I didn't know it.
Who was the first $100,000 female winner on Star Search?
That's right. And was the answer eventually Jenny Jones?
I don't know.
I think it was Jenny Jones, and it was just... the thing I hate about that show is how much time they waste with a guy noodling it through. I think I'll use another lifeline, and then they go to probably the dumbest audience in the world. And you would think the audience...
And the audience really looked dumb last night, didn't they, when they were pressing their buttons?
Yeah, the audience is flatlining, and it's like, I'm going to go to the audience, and you say, all right, they said every answer, 40%. Yeah, how did that work? I don't understand. How could you get 40%? So I think he finally got that one. Right.
We need some more minorities.
I'm Regis Philbin. Come on now. How are you?
All right, here is Jake from Baltimore. Jake from B-more. Hello, Jake.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
I once gave oral sex to a man in the 1950s, and while I was doing it to him, he just kept screaming, Goldfinger!
All right, hello, Jonathan. Jonathan, hello.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hey, one comment that lady made when Regis was talking about a white guy, they actually got one of the contestants on there last night, and he makes it up to the hot seat, and Regis says, well, what do you do? And he says, well, I'm a white guy, when he asked about his occupation.
All right, thank you, my
friend. So the whole show racially charged last night.
Thank you.
Regis trying to, you know, hey, maybe this could be Regis's self-destruct mechanism kicking in.
Hello, Laura, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got a celebrity sighting report.
A real celebrity? Who?
Frank Herzog.
No, not a real celebrity.
I said, you know Don and Mike? He says, yeah, they're funny.
Yeah, right, hey,
okay, that's good.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, wait. That guy on Rosie called him an Aryan because she didn't understand what he said by saying, I'm a white guy. And she goes on the show today, she goes,
Slow down. What are you talking about?
Well, we were talking about on the Regis show.
Yeah, Rosie was talking about the Millionaire show, and she said that the guy said, I'm a white guy, and she misinterpreted it and said to the audience that, oh, what have they got, Aryan contestants now?
Who said that?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love you.
Thank you. No,
I think we get
you.
A pretty good idea of how funny Rosie's show is.
Love you. Thank you. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Don and Mike. Rick calling from Waldorf, West Virginia.
Okay, now, Rick, hold on just a second. Again, when I answer the phone and say, hello, Rick, there is no need to identify yourself as Rick to the audience.
Got it, Don.
I've got you.
I just wanted to make sure you knew I was from Waldorf, West Virginia.
All right, and there is no such thing as Waldorf, West Virginia.
Well, if you lived there, that's where you think you were.
All right, hold on. I got it. Wait a minute. Hold on. Yes, Rick, the comedy stylings of Rick.
Anyway, I just want to let you know that I just read in a novel that one-third of the population, the male population, are what's known as seepers, and they seep blood into their sperm, and so that may have something to do with the oral sex and the
AIDS.
All right. Who's ready for lunch now?
Thank you.
Who's ready for lunch? Hey, and let's say hi to all those seepers out there.
Hello, Don.
Hi.
My Jeepers Creepers.
Hello. Hey, guys.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a tape of that if you want to hear it.
No, sure. Do you really?
Yeah, I really do, I swear to God. Let me turn my radio down here.
I hope I'm going to hear a tape of something I have to delete off the air.
All right, here we go.
I know this is being set up.
And let's get into the game.
Hold on, rewind.
The worst thing that could happen.
This guy really has the tape.
Become a millionaire. Got a problem with that? I don't think so. All right, so make sure you stay tuned to the end of the show. Find out.
Hello?
Hangs up.
Christ, the guy had the tape.
You know, he had that same kind of hate. I'm a troublemaker.
Yeah. 5-2.
All right, get the number, Robbie. I'll call this guy back. This is very important.
Because I heard it right at the beginning. White male?
White male.
What the hell's going on? What is Regis up to?
That I'd love to hear.
Yeah, we got to have that.
You got it, Robbie?
All right.
Hi, this is Regis Philbin. I'm finding this show to be too white bread.
How you doing there, Rob?
And
presto. Thank you, Robbie.
And when it's too white for Regis, it's definitely too white. Yeah, Regis falls definitely into the tragically white category.
All right, let me call this doofus back.
I'm to play us the whole tape, for goodness sakes.
Yes, please.
Hey,
we were ready to chastise him.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, it's Don and Mike. You're on the air.
I hit the wrong button on my phone, of course.
Okay, listen, we apologize for chastising you. Please rewind the tape and let us hear the whole conversation that Regis makes about getting more people of color.
All right, okay.
Great. Thank you. And thank you for actually having the tape.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm good.
Hi, everybody, and happy Tuesday night to you. We have a question for you. Can anybody explain to me why is it that nearly all of our contestants are white men? I'm a white guy, so you know I have nothing against them. But come on, we really would like a little more diversity. Our returning contestant is Patty McGrath from Franklin, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Great gal. But only the 10th woman out of 96 people who have made it to the hot seat. So here's the challenge. Everybody out there who has thought about being on our show, who isn't a white male, dial any
All right, that was all he said about that.
You know, all right, I'm going to tell you right now, those aren't Regis's words.
No.
Somebody's telling Regis
he's reading
that.
Off a prompt.
Yeah, somebody's telling Regis to say that.
Hi there, welcome to the show. It's Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've got nothing against white guys. I am a white guy.
That's right. We need more diversity.
Yeah, he really looked awkward when he was saying
it. Yeah, he was reading it. Of course.
That was a good call, though, that he called us. And thank you for calling with the tape.
You're welcome.
Hold
thank
on.
You.
I'm going to give you a prize. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on. Right.
That's terrific.
That's
excellent.
Good. Hello.
That's the company sitting Regis Dagger. Regis, we need you to say this.
All right. Yeah, whatever. Hi, this is Regis Philbin. Are you Chinese?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh, yes, no, no. Oh, yes, oh, my God, yes, of course. Nipple.
Oh, it's that guy again.
Yeah, it's me again.
All right, come on.
Unbelievable.
Go away.
Please, hello.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, well, wrong number.
Right. Wrong number.
Right.
Sorry.
Sorry.
That was a guy from calling us from his rap.
Hello, Don and Mike. Robin is Caruso. Hello.
I had some scoop on Ray Lewis.
What is your scoop on Ray Lewis?
It was a double suicide.
All right. Thank you, sir. Paul Tagliabue checking in. Thank you, Tag.
Man, a few words.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, yeah, I run a medical facility involving a mannequin, and the mannequin can talk. And I was
Wait a minute, what are you doing?
Explain yourself.
I run a medical company with a mannequin that can talk?
Yeah, it's a simulator, and the simulator has some type of CPR mechanism.
You don't run a medical company.
No, it's not a company. It's for a company. I mean, I don't run like
right.
My company.
What do you do? You make sex dolls? Is that what you do?
Yeah, actually. No, these dolls, they like talk. They're like for medical doctors, like simulators.
Yeah, but you don't have anything to do with them.
Yeah, I do.
You don't make them.
I don't make them.
What do? Put them in their boxes?
No, I run them. I run the computer system that does, and they can talk. And I was wondering if you guys could give me some, like, audio clips so I could say, like, hi, this is Don, or hi, this is Surfer.
You know, come on.
Do you think we're that easy?
Come on.
It's obvious what you have is a computer that has some kind of voice enabler on it.
Right? Like, this is an actual dummy.
Do you want to play a game? Well, then you should bring the talking dummy down to the radio station.
Yes, bring it down here.
Bring your Danny O'Day down here.
Danny O'Day?
Yes. Yeah, bring it down here, and then we can maybe talk.
Okay.
All right, goodbye. You're excused.
Okay.
Hang up.
Okay.
Don't laugh, Buzz. You just encourage him.
I'm sorry. Ever since I said silly ass, they're all calling now.
The meeting of the silly ass clubs.
Right, I'm president.
Randy.
Donatello, Michele.
Si.
Hey, last week, I think it was Monday, Washington Post editorial page, a lady wrote an article about McCain being able to tell who was gay and who wasn't in the military.
Right.
And they used the term gaydar.
Mm-hmm.
Said, well, that's just silly. Everybody knows, you know, it's just gaydar. There's even a term for it. And I just wondered, did you guys invent that term, or can you take credit for that?
I think we heard it from someone who was gay, actually.
Yeah, gaydar's been kicking around for a long, long time.
Although we should stake our claim on it right now.
Yes, we did invent it.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, I think...
Bye-bye. Another great invention from the Don and Mike Laboratory.
Yeah. And incidentally, soon to be a test for all of the presidential candidates. You know, before they can advance in the primary system, they're going to have their gaydar checked.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Who can turn the world on with his vertical smile?
Is this your guy?
Somehow that diuretic shake, it just doesn't seem like it was really worthwhile. Well, it's your ass and you should know it. With every little fart and gurgle you show it. Gonna get scoped one of these days. Now, you know your mic, you better eat some more brand somehow. Going to get scored after
I'll give him a nice sum up. Yeah. That was a good song.
Yeah. Very good.
That's a good song.
Yeah. I'm going to get scoped after all. Thank you. So wonderful.
And he's also tying in the Mary Tyler Moore thing. Right.
Yes, and you were busily reading TV Guide when I came into the office.
Listen, I'm trying so hard. I had a meeting with Charles Broyhill today, and I said, I know that we told Valerie Harper the last time she was on the show.
She was dead to us.
She was never going to come on again.
Yes.
But we've got to get her back on, because every time we've had Valerie Harper on, she's talked about making this TV movie with Mary Tyler Moore.
Right.
And I've told her every time, that's a mistake.
Yep.
Don't do it. That's a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got TV Guide today at the station, and on the cover, they're back together again.
Yeah.
Mary and Rhoda.
ABC, right?
Right.
They promoted the heck out of it on the
show. Yeah, two old bags.
with the same kind of writing, you know, they have the same style.
It looks awful, and I just have to tell Rhoda Morgenstern, I have to tell you, it's a huge mistake. While there's still time,
right.
Cancel that.
Now, did you read a review of it?
Yeah, the review was
awful.
Really?
Yeah, in TV Guide. They had an article that was all flowery, obviously a PR piece.
Right.
But right on the opposite page, they had a review of the show.
Of the show.
Where they said it's awful.
Bad.
So they should not have come back and done this again.
No, I hate it when that happens. They were like, Mary Tyler Moore Show is one of the ones that you just don't. In fact, they went out better than lots of the shows like MASH and All in the Family. They actually went out on top.
And it said in the show that they don't make any mention of Murray or Ted or Mr. Grant. It simply is Mary and her daughter and Rhoda and her daughter.
Yeah. Is Cloris Leachman in it?
No, thankfully not.
Okay.
Thankfully, it's just Mary and Rhoda.
Very good.
Hello, John. You're the last call. Hello.
Hi. Dynamite, how you doing, guys?
Great, thanks.
Hey, can't wait to see you guys tonight. Hey, my question is, I'm heading out to California Friday, and we got tickets to, maybe my wife got tickets to Leah Remini's show.
King of Queens. You know that King of Queens.
It's hard to get.
This week, King of Queens was number 14 in the national ratings.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Jesus Christ.
They're moving up. Moving on. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you have any special message for her to give her a hard time or anything? Or
no, we got nothing but love. Don't say anything mean to either Leo or Kevin.
They're great people. They treated us like absolute royalty when we went out there. You just go out and enjoy the show.
So tell me about your pitch for your show, for you guys.
No. Don't help us on that, please.
No. And I got tickets to Third Rock, and we're trying to see Friends, but that might be a little tough.
You know, really, what you want to do, and don't do this on The King of Queens, but if you get into other sitcoms, laugh like that guy in the 70s laugh that was in the audience. Remember the guy that used to go,
yeah, there was one guy in a laugh track who sounded like Ricky Ricardo.
And you know, laugh like that, and then you'll know forever you'll be on those sitcoms if you go,
yes, brain.
You know, this is just an odd little aside. Those are the old CBS laugh tracks. You'd always hear them on MASH.
Yeah.
They were recorded when Red Skelton would do his pantomime, because there was no music and nothing on stage, so it was just pure canned laughter. CBS did it for like 40 years.
Thank you, Rob.
There's a fact that's going to stand him well in life.
Hello, Lyle.
Yeah, the most touching part of that Mike colonoscopy story is when Don finds out that Mike's life might be in jeopardy. All he's caring about is lining up a guest co-host to take his spot.
When you say life's in jeopardy, don't say that.
God, sir, I'm stressed out enough, for the love of God.
We got a show to do.
Well, listen, when Frida tells Mike, when Frida tells Don, sit down, I got some bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Don's sitting down thinking, okay.
That's the first thing I thought is, Mike's going to be in the hospital, what do we do about the show? What's wrong with that?
Don's thinking, okay, Mike's out of the picture, maybe I can get, maybe Regis Philbin to play.
All right, goodbye.
Yeah. The funeral.
How did he know? God. How did he know my first choice?
Regis Philbin. I said, only a white guy. No blacks, no Chinese. Are you a white male?
Hi.
Mike O'Mara's going to be in the hospital for a while.
Regis Philbin from ABC TV's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and the nationally syndicated Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Homo Joe's on the phone. Hi, Homo Joe.
Hey, Don and Mike. Homo Joe here.
Homo Joe, how troubling is this story that there's an 8% chance that you can get AIDS from unprotected oral sex?
I work up at NIH, and let me tell you, that's not true. The only way it would be true is if you had cuts in your mouth and with blood in the urine and all that kind of stuff, and the person's positive. That's a good way to get positive from it.
So I think that article that you read would indicate that, too. That's usually the way it happens, right?
Correct.
Joe, have you ever given oral sex or received oral sex while wearing a condom?
Oh, yes. It's gross, but yes.
So you do that?
Which yes. Have you done both?
Yes.
Really?
No.
I don't know. I don't want to ask.
It's oogie.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, what is it better? Is it, well, obviously.
It doesn't taste like chewing gum, trust me.
Thank you, Homo Joe.
Okay. The Homo Joe mobile is ready to go.
See you tonight at the show.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's the Homo Joe. He's our homo, man.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Get ready, Baltimore, for the first Las Vegas-style show of the new millennium. Tonight, the entire Don and Mike Show family return to Bohager, 701 South Eden Street, right in Charm City. The show starts at 9. Don't miss the fun, huh? It is entirely new for 2000. Be cool for your viewing pleasure. But still as raunchy as ever. Come check out the new Bodo. Call Bohager's at 410-563-7220 for information and direction. Do not miss it.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in its tools, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face-to-face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right.
I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
Listen, honey, the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, honey. Vegas Style Show you just heard tonight at Bohagers in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
We're still looking for at least another family to firm up.
Oh, yeah.
Group of people. Don't have to be related.
Right.
At least one woman, couple of guys. For the nude feud, you can call us during this break if you're interested. If you want to come on to the show and come backstage, be brought out in the first break,
it'll be a lot of fun.
We'll be playing the nude feud tonight for $250 at Bohagers. Plus, Buzz will be liquid latexing girls' boobs.
Yeah.
We'll be playing Whose Ass Is That? Homo Joe Challenge. Carol the Big Dyke Challenge. Dennis Murphy Challenge. Underwear Fashion Show.
Does this song go all the way? Does the whole song go? Whenever you play this, you know, we're coming back from commercials.
Right.
I always wonder what they get to when they get to that certain point. Because I'm always, this is an impossible song for me to get out of my head when you play.
This is the song.
The whole thing goes like this.
Stop the Rock. Stop the Rock. It's by Apollo 440.
Wow.
I don't know if anybody knows of that record yet. It's a brand new record just out.
It's not my favorite group, though.
Who's your favorite group?
Slipknot.
Who the hell is Slipknot?
Oh, Slipknot is cool. Slipknot is cool. They all wear like Texas Chainsaw Massacre wings.
What, you've been watching VH1 again? Did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, one of those music channels where they play the pictures along with the song.
The videos.
Yes, they're videos. That's what
video.
Yeah, but they had. There's one guy. He's got like a. You know, in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Leatherface had the Leatherface on.
Sure.
He's got. I don't know whether he's got holes in the mask and he's got dreadlocks coming through or whether the dreadlocks are attached to the mask that he's wearing, but it's a hood that covers his whole face and it's got the mouth cut out and then the other guy's wearing like a skeleton hockey mask type of thing. They look terrifying. Another guy's got a clown mask on, and when they're out there and they're playing and they're all looking down at the floor and they're just going, they're going like this, constantly bouncing up and down, and it's just weird. They're called
wacky stuff.
They're called Slipknot, and it's some wild stuff.
The kids are loopy for it.
Yeah, they're the
movies.
Here's what the kids like Slipknot.
Yeah.
How you doing? Nice to see you.
Yeah. I saw maybe the most worthless Where Are They Now ever on VH1
mm-hmm.
Last night. Do you remember the group T'Pau?
Yeah.
They had song, Heart and Soul.
Oh, God.
With a little bit of heart and soul. They did a half hour on T'Pau.
Oh, God. They're starting to lose material.
Yeah, they really are running out of stuff. Look, I wanted to mention the Vegas Style Show tonight. Bohagers, Baltimore, big lineup. We hit the stage at 9. Don't cost nothing to get in. We would love to see you there.
Right.
We'll be giving away a trip anywhere in America in this hour of the show, so stay tuned. I've been told that now we should try to call King of Queens television star Kevin James.
Kevin James.
And here's why we have to call him today,
uh-huh.
And why we have to put the push on him to let us do our guest shot very soon.
Okay.
The guest shot that we've imagined is that Jerry Stiller on the King of Queens calls our radio show to win a contest.
And then we're involved somehow.
Hilarity ensues.
But I think as a safety valve, you know, we're not calling the shots here. Just to make sure that we get our speaking part, we should also say sometime during this conversation that, you know, if there is anything that, you know, that comes across where, like, for example, we talked to him about when he had all his football buddies over.
Yeah, but
and they had speaking parts.
Our last ditch, if he rebuffs the first effort, where
I
we
just
play
want to
ourselves.
Make sure. Yes, I want to make sure that we get the speaking parts.
So anyway, listen, the point is that if we're going to tape an episode of King of Queen that runs in the sweeps,
right,
which I think
February and May are the upcoming sweeps series. So it'll be the May sweeps that we'd be shooting.
That means he'll probably be shooting that episode
sometime in
the next 5 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. March or April probably.
So we've got to hook up with him now,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we get a commitment from him.
Sure.
So let's call the set of King of Queens.
Find out if he's there. Mm-hmm. Kevin's in casting. He's in the writer's room.
This would be a tough conversation for us.
He's been nice, though. We've had nice conversations.
He seemed to like it as a B story, he said.
Yeah, and that's fine with us, too.
All right, anybody want a side bet on where he's going to be?
I'm going to say the writer's room.
Yeah. I'm going to guess at lunch.
He's either going to be in the writer's room or on the set.
Well, nobody's answering the phone.
It's happening. This is 28.
Yes, 28. This is Don and Mike. We're on the air right now. Is Kevin around?
Yeah, can you hold on?
Sure. Yes.
One moment, gentlemen. Let me make my way towards the dressing room.
Thank you so much for calling us, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
It's quite all right.
It's quite all right.
Oh, we all lose the bet.
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
Well, hold on. Well, wait, because there's still a chance that he'll come back and say, yeah, but Kevin, when Kevin hears it's us,
he might use a mobile telephone.
Hello,
he might actually be in the, you know, if he's in the room that one of us guessed, it still counts.
Well, maybe, Kelly, maybe even Leah's room. Let me walk down here. To the lovely Leah's room.
There's a 100% chance that he walked in a room and said to Kevin it was us, and Kevin said,
take him to Leah's room.
I'm not here.
That's what just happened, ladies and gentlemen.
Kevin James.
Oh?
Hey, where's Kevin? Anybody seen Kevin?
They think we're such rubes.
Have you checked the writer's room?
Well, he's supposed to be down here because he's needed on the set, actually, for the next... I checked.
Is that Leah in the background?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, can we talk to her?
Keep it brief.
We got to stick on a schedule today.
I am going to walk back down to Kevin's room. He may have been on the horn.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me check again in one moment.
You're wireless, obviously.
I still think there's a chance you're just being jerked around right now. And then when he originally went into Kevin, Kevin said,
this guy's very cool. What's your first name? We've met you before, haven't we?
Who is this?
Kevin. Gentlemen.
Yes.
Yes.
He is M.I.A.
Right.
It might be up in the room with the writers, but...
the writers' room.
Writers' room, is that where you picked mine?
Yes, it is.
Winner, winner.
Winner. I predicted at lunch.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Righto.
Bye-bye, righto.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let me call her. Okay, very good. Call her dressing room. She's ignoring us again. They keep whining to her, but,
she's the only person that will listen to us whine.
She's our friend.
Now, we know she's there.
Right. I think he walked into her dressing room.
Right. We heard her voice.
And now she's probably rolling her eyes saying, it's them.
I don't want to talk to them either.
Them.
Leah. Stop the rock.
Sorry. Stop it, Mike. Get it out of your head.
Stop the rock.
Stop the rock.
Well, you know, we're SOL. She ain't answering her dressing room. He's avoiding us.
You have that writer's room number, though, don't you? I thought you got a bunch of numbers there.
All right.
Well, may as well go for broke.
Sure. Good call, Buzz.
I thought, you know, let me tell you why I agree with you, because I thought at the beginning of the conversation I heard the guy go, Kevin... Okay, he's not here. Let's go to Leah's room.
Kevin just went.
Production?
Yes, hi. This is Don and Mike. We're on the radio right now. Is Kevin around?
Hang on. Let me try. I'm going to chance to do another one. Hang on.
He's going to transfer us back to the other guy?
I hope we can go back to the other guy on this
one. We'll know his voice. We'll know his voice.
Hello?
See what's happening.
28. Welcome to the runaround.
I really feel uncomfortable if that happens.
I was just hanging up.
Because then we, like, really appear like lightweights.
Well, we are.
Well, we are, but I don't want to appear that way.
Production.
Hi.
Hi, this is Don and Mike. We're on the radio right now. We're looking for Kevin.
Oh, sure. Let me get him. Hold on one sec.
That's what they say every time.
Yeah.
They say that every time. Oh, let me get him. Do you know what this is like? Are they trained to do it that way?
This is like Where's Waldo. That's exactly what this is like. And they're all probably having a good belly laugh at our expense. They go, oh, Jesus. Is this jockey called again?
Who gave them all the phone numbers?
Then he probably goes in and yells at Leah. Because she's the one that gave us all the telephone numbers.
You won't believe what you've gotten me into. They really think they want to come out here and do another show and have speaking parts. Oh, Leah. Well, how are we going to cut them loose?
You do it, Leah.
Hello.
Kevin!
Hey, what's up?
Kevin, it's Don and Mike.
What's going on, boys?
Kevin James, ladies and gentlemen, star of The King of Queens.
Oh, we're on.
Yeah, so you're on the air, Kevin. Is
all right,
that okay?
Cool.
Kevin.
I just want to know so I don't go off.
So you, Kevin, you don't cuss.
So you actually were not just avoiding our call. We called for you on the set because we were told that you'd be around today.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pretty sure when the guy walked into your dressing room, he said, Kevin, that you said to him, I'm not here right now.
But obviously that's not true, or you wouldn't be speaking to us.
I'm up in the writer's office right now.
Writers, you're the winner, Mike.
We had a little pool as to where you'd be, and I picked writer's office.
There you go.
I'm the big winner.
Kevin, you did a very nice set at the Mel Karmazin party.
But you guys were there, and I heard you were going to be at the Super Bowl. You saw that set, or what?
No, I didn't go. I gave my tickets to my next-door neighbors, and they loved it.
Well, thanks for the love. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you slayed them, right?
It was good. It was, you know, the only thing was, it was a huge room. It was like doing comedy in an airport hangar.
That's no fun.
So, yeah, that's kind of rough. But it was actually, they were really good. So,
No, you did a good set. They were very entertaining.
Did you go to the game, Kevin?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Unbelievable, huh?
Me too.
I didn't care who won, but then I did care. Like, I got into it.
I left with 2 minutes left. I made my son leave because I was worried about the traffic.
Nice move.
Yeah, we left right after Kurt Warner threw that long touchdown pass. I said, Bart, this game is over. Let's go. And he said, Dad, Tennessee's going to come back. And I said, there's no way they're coming back.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Congratulations on your ratings, Kevin James.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, number 14 last week.
Yeah.
Not bad.
We just read that in the newspaper.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
That's pretty kick-ass.
Three of the things.
I'm getting some information from the executive producer. We're on the air, Michael.
Three of the things above us were Super Bowl and post and pregame show.
Right.
Three slots.
Oh, that's right. The Super Bowl, and then there was the post and pregame show. So that took up three slots. So you take that off, and we're still 11.
That's right.
Number 11.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I can't change anything. Can't say top 10 yet.
So technically knocking on the door of the top 10.
You know what we are?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the neighborhood.
Right.
We're not. But they're calling security, though, to have us taken away.
You guys have the exact same number of viewers as Pecker, as that Ted Danson show.
Yes.
That's excellent.
That's pretty good.
Well, congratulations.
Because he follows Raymond.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Raymond has huge
numbers.
You
don't have the lead in.
Raymond has a 17.5 million.
Raymond's a monster.
No, you guys, look at that. King of Queens, number 14. Right behind Friends and right in front of Frasier.
Yeah, we see Frasier.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
All right, I love that.
That's good.
Kevin, enough with the butt kissing.
All right.
We've sufficiently kissed your buttocks right now.
Listen, I appreciate it.
There's a reason we're calling you.
I'm just wiping off with a wet and dry.
We are calling you because we talked to you a couple of weeks ago about you coming back out again.
And if we're pushing too much, just tell us.
No, I would tell you. When do you want to come out?
Okay.
Do you know what our schedule is?
No, that's what we're calling to ask you, what your schedule is.
All right. We tape this week. We're filming this week. And then what do we film? We film next week. Oh, wait, here it is. I'm looking at it now. Okay, so we're filming this week. We film next week. Are we on? Where are we? What is today?
Today is Wednesday the 2nd.
February.
Oh, here we are. Okay, the 4th. We shoot the 4th, the 11th, then the 18th. And then we're off for a week, and then we shoot four in a row. Those are the last four, and we end on March 23rd.
Okay, well, We would like to be included in one of the last four.
Whenever it's convenient for you, of course.
For you. Fine. Yeah, let's do it.
You know, and whatever, you know, I think you remember that we'd thrown out that little idea, but, you know, it's totally up to you. You're the boss, Kevin.
I am the boss.
You are the boss.
We are putty in your hands.
And I know that when you're looking at the big schedule of what's coming up and what ideas are being bantered about and,
right.
You know, our wish is your command. Your wish is our command, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm going to get you guys on.
That's all we'd like to do.
You guys did unbelievably last time. You know, we still have people calling from Darman Greg. They want to take you over there. Have you extras
right
there.
We would love the opportunity to do it again.
Well, you guys, I'm welcoming you. Yes, absolutely.
God bless you, Kevin James.
So it would not be out of line if we had our producer call one of your people at some point.
No.
To try to firm up a date.
No, not at all. I'll let the people here know. So
beautiful
to expect it.
Beautiful.
All
Thank
right.
you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin,
so what else is going on, you guys?
Well, you know, we always feel awkward when we make this call because it is, you know, a little more pushy than we normally like to be.
No, but you got to lock it in.
Yeah,
I understand.
You know, it's TV and it means an awful lot to us.
I hear you.
And you know, we talk to Leah quite often.
Right.
I find her on occasion to be a tad annoying. I said that to her face last.
I know you.
The last time she was on the show.
Let me tell you something. She is the sweetest individual I have ever had the experience of working with. She knocks Jerry Stiller down now.
I'm just busting her balls.
One spot.
I'm just
a princess.
Just busting her balls. You can tell her that I said she's annoying now.
I know. I will.
That's all.
Kevin, listen. The next time we come out there,
yeah.
This is really from all of us here. No need for the masseuse.
You really?
There's really no need. You know, we don't
want that one.
No special frills. There's no real need for the masseuse. If she's there, you know, I mean, what the hell? But really.
When you're at the Super Bowl, you're Mr. CBS. What kind of treatment did they give you? I mean, did you have it? What hotel did you stay at?
I'll tell you what. Les Moonves, this is the coolest. My mom, my dad came out with my sister and stuff. And we met my brother was there. And we all had tickets. And my mom and my sister didn't have tickets. And they didn't care. You know, they don't care about the game so much.
Right.
But as the game started, you know, it was game day now, and all the festivities were going on, and we were partying, hanging out. They were like, oh, God, we would love to go now. So now, last minute, I'm, like, trying to get them tickets. I'm like, oh, God, this is never going to happen. Because I thought everybody was going to cancel because of the storm and stuff like that, but it turned out that everybody showed up in Atlanta, and they were ready to go to the game. So there were no tickets to be had. And then Les came over to me and says, I heard you were looking for tickets. It's like an hour and a half before the game. He goes, let me make a phone call. And boom,
tickets. The main guy.
Mm. The main guy.
That's
huge.
Dude, that has to make you feel just okay, huh?
That really did, yeah. Of course, I had to Simonize his car for a month.
No, I want to tell you the truth. If you're on the show now and again, you don't get Super Bowl tickets. But if you're on the King of Queens...
I'll tell you, now and again is doing good.
Well, I was just trying to pick a dog on the schedule.
I hear you. I got to go with a different one.
I mean, if you're on...
from another network.
Okay.
What is Now and Again on?
That's on CBS.
Yeah.
If you're on...
Exactly.
If you're on It Takes Two,
there you go.
Which is on NBC. If you're on Charmed on the WB,
there you go.
You're no tickets.
Beat up on Charmed.
So listen, when you get these tickets from the guy at the network, they're comped to you.
They were comped. It was incredible.
Where were they at?
I thought they were going to be, you know, nosebleed, but they were great seats too for my mom and my sister who care nothing about football, which I'm sure two other people who didn't get those tickets were thrilled to find out.
Did you say thanks, Les, or thanks, Leslie?
I said thanks, Les.
Okay, all right. He doesn't like Leslie, does he?
I don't know. Okay. I've heard it. You know, I've seen it both ways. And
Did you get any feedback from Mel about your stand-up?
Yeah, Mel's great. Mel, I saw beforehand. He loved it. You know, we had a good time together, and Les was there. It didn't get bigger than that.
I had a brief encounter with Mel, and he asked me to get his son a press credential. Somebody tells me he probably treated you a little nicer.
Yeah, he was great. We had a fun time.
Yeah, he still basically, you know, wipes the shoes on us, but we're comfortable with that relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be.
So you're at the Super Bowl, then you come back. Tell me something. When you get these ratings, is this the highest ratings your show's ever had?
That was last week, yeah.
That's being great. Number 14?
You know what? One time over the summer, and I don't know if this is true or not, it might have been a screwed up thing, but we were ranked at number 4 with like repeat or something. It was like a weird off week where Friends all Thursday night, and that's what it was, Thanksgiving week, I think it was, where Friends and all those other shows were like preempted or something that wasn't on, and we came in at like a number 4, like behind Raymond was like, I think Raymond was number 1 or whatever. It was like a summer rerun week, so it doesn't really count, but it was.
So now you got a real victory here.
It's a real victory.
When you got that news, how did you, would you go out and get crazy drunk? What did you do?
I went out and I started slow and picked up speed until I'm going to end it with puke. And then I wake up and it's a table read. I got to get back to work.
There you go. All right. I heard that your set that you did at Mel's show was quite good. You did a bit about phone numbers.
Uh-huh.
And the cadence of phone numbers?
Yes.
See, that's, I got this back from these people that went to the show.
They had a great time, right?
They said Kevin James was hilarious.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so good. You kicked some ass there.
Well, then I'm glad. I'm glad they had fun. And it was a really weird room. I hate working in such huge rooms where, I mean, it's like 1,500 people and the ceiling is so high and the laughs, it just seems like they go away. But, I mean, it's just harder to hear. I like intimate crowds and intimate rooms. But
could you see Mel while you were doing your set?
I was actually, no, I couldn't see. I could see anybody because the lights are on you, you know.
Yeah,
that type of thing.
Sure.
When you're thinking of Mel.
When you talk to Mel, has he ever said these words to you? What haven't I done for you?
I got that originally.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
That's all we hear from him.
That makes us feel better that you actually get that. The big CBS TV star. That's wonderful. What haven't I done for you?
Which, you have to respect from the guy who can...
I don't know. Why he would sell you?
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the main man.
Yeah.
It all started with radio for that gentleman.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, Kevin James, the wonderful Kevin James.
I'm going to put it in now.
While we're on tape, it's okay for our producer to call your people then and
set
this
up. I don't know how that works, but I'm going to set it up now so they don't go, what are you talking about?
Beautiful. That's fantastic. And just be prepared, you know, for a couple of calls in the future. We will, always at the very beginning, we will plant our lips firmly on your buttocks.
Right.
Absolutely.
And, you'll just bring plenty
of... I arch my back and you just kiss.
Yeah, no problem. Kevin, go back to whatever you... Are you enjoying something to eat right now?
No, just...